This is Marketplace. I'm Molly Wood. More police officers are killed by civilians in the U.S. than in any other developed country. But at the same time, cops here are much more likely to kill civilians. Excessive and sometimes deadly use of force is a hot issue right now in America. A recent presidential commission said some of those issues could be overcome by more training for cops on diversity, on understanding the mentally ill, and just learning how to communicate. It sounds obvious, but it ain't easy. As part of our series, Behind the Blue Line, The Costs of a Changing Police Force, Sally Herships looks at police training in America.
When you have an emergency, you're supposed to call 911. But for some Americans, calling the police can seem just as scary as the situation you're trying to get help with.
It's a huge calculated risk.
Laura Usher is with the National Alliance on Mental Illness. She says when someone is mentally ill, maybe threatening to harm themselves or others, family members can be afraid to contact police. If you're lucky, Usher says, you'll get a well-trained officer who's prepared to deal with the mentally ill.
But in a community without training, yeah, best case scenario is probably that they get arrested.
And worst case scenario?
Worst case scenario, you know, that they get shot, killed.
Which is what happened to Jason Harrison in Dallas. Harrison was 38 and had schizophrenia when his mom called the police last year. She needed help getting her son to the hospital. I'm going to play a clip of the incident from CNN, but warning, it's disturbing. According to police, when they arrived, they found Harrison holding a screwdriver. The officers involved in the shooting were not criminally charged, but Harrison's family sued. Usher says this type of scenario is what many families worry about.
That your child's going to get beaten, that he's going to get pepper sprayed, that he's going to get tasered, that he's going to get shot, that he's going to die.
Usher says while there are about 18,000 local and state police departments around the country, only about 15% do comprehensive mental health crisis training. Maki Haberfeld specializes in police training at John Jay College of Criminal Justice. She says American police don't get enough training in general or enough quality training.
In other words, professional development is not where it's supposed to be. And police officers know this.
Haberfeld says they also know they've never been more scrutinized. Take all the videos that have gone viral recently, like the one last week of a confrontation between police and teenagers at a pool party in Texas.
Sir, we just came for a birthday party.
Neighbors complained that some teens were getting out of hand, but critics say it was a police officer who was out of control.
I told you to stay.
At one point, he forces a girl in a bathing suit onto the ground, face down. Then he kneels on her back. The officer who was caught on tape in the incident resigned a few days later. Kevin Dillon was a cop for more than 25 years. Now he trains them. He says before police get physical, whenever possible, they should get verbal first.
That's the ultimate warrior, the one kid his opponent to concede without using violence.
But Dillon says he also knows what he sees often, young officers who need to learn improved communication skills.
Half the time, their communication is used to doing with their hands on their phones.
Like texting. Dillon says for police, learning communication skills is key.
It takes a great deal of training to be able to understand on how to de-escalate a situation.
And then more training on how to command presence.
In another situation, how to show empathy. In another way, how to get somebody to confess that he just beat this child nearly to death. So there's – think about that range of communication skills. It's not just a matter of talking back and forth.
But Dillon says he knows budgets are tight and he knows what training costs. Anywhere from $100 for a one-day course for one officer to over $10,000 for a whole department for a week. He says when it comes to training, police just aren't getting enough. Take use of force. He says cops often get only 4 to 8 hours of training a year.
We're too reactionary. We have to start to invest now to save later. Instead of like, well, if we get sued, well, we're going to get sued. Why don't we try to minimize the outcome by trying to invest now?
But if it's your responsibility to make sure a police department runs smoothly, finding extra room in your budget for additional training can be tough.
The number one priority is always going to be respond to those 911 calls.
Sue Rahr is director of Washington State's Criminal Justice Training Commission. She was a member of the President's Task Force on Policing and was with the King County Sheriff's Office for 33 years, the last 7 as sheriff. She says those 911 calls don't stop for training.
When you send an officer to training, you have to fill that officer's shift on the street.
Police salaries differ all over the country. Barrar says when she worked in King County, it cost about $2,000 a week in overtime to cover the cost of each officer who was away at training. If she wanted to put all 700 officers through training, Rahr says you'd be talking millions. But she says even if a police department can find the money, training on its own isn't enough to create change. Remember, she says, each of the 18,000 police departments in the country have to answer to a city council or a mayor or some other elected official.
When you tell police for 30 years, we want you to be tough on crime, that culture resonates. And the message is we want you to control crime by making arrests and by doing it in a very forceful way.
Rahr says you can put police through all the training in the world, but if you don't change the tough on crime culture at the top, nothing will change. Meanwhile, budgets for additional training are often the first to be cut when funding is tight. In New York, I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.